You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Thanks again to Jeff Butch Hobson from Bengals.com for giving us a real accurate look and a very honest look at the Bengals, of what they have. I want to ask you a question. You asked about Giovanni Bernard.
Yep.
Will we use Duke Johnson the way they want to use and have used Giovanni Bernard?
Yes.
Okay.
The plus for the Browns is that I feel like Duke Johnson is a better athlete than Giovanni Bernard and actually might be given more opportunities deeper into the season. Which is only going to be extremely, you know, better situation for the Cleveland Browns.
All right, before we go to the telephone calls, and we have a couple of telephone calls on the line, and you can hop on the line too at 216-578-0850. We'll be previewing the Steelers tomorrow. So we have the Bengals today, Steelers tomorrow. I was watching ESPN again over the weekend, and they reran the Maurice Claret 30 for 30.
Yeah.
And it's kind of intertwined with Jim Tressel.
Sure,
Tressel
absolutely.
And Claret. But I want to go back. I mean, that was an amazing year, the amount of comebacks. The Buckeyes did not blow people away.
No,
that year,
we did
right?
not.
I mean, they were tight games, that Purdue game. But I want to go to the Michigan game, which was so important that day. And I can remember we were on an airplane flying somewhere. I think we were going to New Orleans when you guys were playing that game against Michigan. Did you ever feel like you were in trouble? That was late. Before Claret made that big play down the left sideline.
No, I can't say that we were.
It wasn't a big Michigan lead, but it was a long Michigan lead.
Yeah, 9-6, or 9-7.
Yeah, but it lasted. Wasn't it from early in the first half and then through
it was.
Halftime?
Field goal. Yeah. We finally got on the board. But I never worried, and a lot of it, and sometimes even when I look back at that season, I'm even blown away by how, when you talk about defense, how good our defense was. People didn't score touchdowns on us very often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we gave, I mean, I want to say like 11 points a game was all we gave up, you know, per average.
And you scored 12.
13 and a half.
Every game was really tight.
You're right. Yeah. But I just, we were of the mindset as a unit defensively that if it came down, we wanted to be the ones on the field, not to have our offense have to go make that big play.
Well, the other thing that struck me was that Claret made big plays big times and in big games.
And as a freshman, the fact that he earned Jim Tressel's trust to call those plays, that I mean, the wheel route in the Michigan game that he stumbled out of bounds, if he'd have caught it with a little bit more space, he goes up the sideline for a touchdown.
Yeah.
But Tressel trusting Claret to make those plays in that moment.
He made and as I remember, Matt, he had a bad shoulder, didn't
he?
Through the second half of that year, he had that stinger.
Yep.
All right, let's get back to the Browns, though, okay? Terry is in Strongsville. Hi, Terry. You're on Cleveland Browns Daily. Welcome in.
Hi, Jim. It's a pleasure to talk to you. You are truly a Cleveland icon.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, I trust your opinion, and I just ask you this question. No slight to anybody else. What is the knock on Connor Shaw? You know, he's got great college stats.
Yeah.
He didn't look horrible in that game. In fact, he looked better than Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
What is the knock on him exactly? Why not develop him as your second-string quarterback, somebody that hasn't been in rehab? Somebody that's conducted himself in an appropriate way. What is the knock on him that he's not going to get a legitimate shot? It seems.
Here's what I'm going to hang up and listen to you. Okay, thanks. And it's real simple. Okay, and it's tough, and it's brutal to just come up with one thing. But I really think it's one thing, and I think it was even brought up after his very heroic start against Baltimore, where he took a beating and he had them in the lead at M&T Bank Stadium in a game the Ravens had to have with 8 minutes to go in the game, okay? He had done a pretty good job. Arm strength.
Yep.
That's it.
And Jim, arm strength is the one thing we can identify now that he's a Cleveland Brown. But 32 teams in the National Football League passed up on him 7 different times for him to be an undrafted free agent.
Right, okay.
So there has to be a bigger, arm strength is one, but there's got to be other, tangibles or qualifications that you have to have for you to expense even a 6th-round pick on a quarterback that late in your draft for you not to.
That's a good point, Matt,
And I think he's very cerebral. He's a hard worker. I think size is one of those things. He's not that 6'4" quarterback, too.
Yeah.
Him and Johnny are I. The scheme that he played in at South Carolina, was a kind of a pro-ish style.
So let me throw this at you, though, okay? And here is something that you can't measure, but he did it. He won at South Carolina.
He absolutely
all
did.
All right, he won a ton. I don't ever think he lost at home. Wasn't that the – he
it
never lost
been,
at home.
Yeah.
But anyway, you add it all up, and he – one.
Yes, he did.
Now, Alabama had better talent than South Carolina and Georgia and all those teams. And I know they got the old ball coach over there on the sideline. But this guy won a ton of games down there in a terrific conference. Okay, so that's the immeasurable about him. But I think that the main thing, if you ask people around the NFL and certainly here, okay, I mean, you're right, caller, that he's more grown up than Manziel. He's married. I mean, you know, he's a married guy. You know, he is cerebral, and he's a hard worker. I used to always go to the Kyle Shanahan press conference on Thursday afternoons, and there would be one guy out there on it's Thursday now, so a lot of guys want to get the heck out of there, and he was the guy that was out on the last one to get off the practice field. And it's not a cliche. I mean, he worked really, really hard to stay there and to earn their trust at the end of the year. Not that they had a lot of options at the end of the year, but his arm strength was the biggest thing.
And I believe also him having to work that hard to get playable, if that makes sense. I mean, when there's a certain guy like Johnny Manziel, if Johnny Manziel worked as hard as Connor Shaw did, that along with his talent and God-given ability would make him the star that we thought he would be or will be or should be. Whereas Connor Shaw's got to do – he's got to do everything right and work extremely hard to get in and it be manageable for him.
And he'll do that.
Never win you a football game. He'll never win you a championship. He'll never, and all those things. So do you want to put all your eggs in one basket for a guy that you know has significant shortcomings?
All right. That's a very honest breakdown of what he is. Terrific guy.
Yep.
Team guy. Offense loved him when he went in there and played that day. He played. He got beaten up in that game. I think he was bleeding. He was urinating blood after that game because he had taken so many hits. I think he also got whacked in the thumb early in the game. He hung in there. He had them in the lead. He engineered a great drive that Terrence West finished off at the in the second half. They had the lead, and he couldn't move them then at that point, and that place became a beehive because they needed it to get into the playoffs, the Ravens did, and that's what happened there. Let's go to New Jersey right now. Chevy is in New Jersey. Chevy, welcome in.
Hey, thanks, guys. I really am enjoying the show today. It's awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
I didn't call to talk about the Red Rifle, but I would have to say his problem is between the ears. He's rattled so easily. That guy is inconsistent, and he's never going to win him a Super Bowl. But that's not why I called.
Okay.
Cohesion.
Right.
You take two guys that are gone, Kyle Shanahan, Brian Hoyer, they were not really, like team players. You bring in a guy like Danny Shelton, and now you've got a leader on defense that raises the bar for that whole D line. Now we got depth at O line, and I believe Johnny is going to be a student of the game. And he's going to be a true leader for the Cleveland Browns.
You are like the third or fourth caller that has called in today in not just tepid support of Johnny Manziel, full support of Johnny Manziel.
Absolutely.
That's it.
You really
believe in him.
Yeah. And what? But where are you getting your belief? And I'm not doubting your belief, but I'm curious as to where you're getting it, because when he did play at the end of the year last year, I thought that was frightening.
Well, first of all, he had no O-line. They couldn't block the right side.
Yeah.
Second of all, Shanahan was not a huge fan of his, so he changed the whole offense at the last minute for him to do trick plays and stuff. And third of all, Johnny Manziel had a problem, which he has since resolved. So now clean, sober, his mind is right. He's totally in. Everyone says all the right things about him. Am I not correct?
Yeah, everybody is saying that. And I have to tell you, right out of the horse's mouth, when he spoke at minicamp in front of the media, which I have said before, he does that very, very well. And he was very good again that day. He was very remorseful about what happened last year. He said he was not a good teammate. And
I'm a guy that happens to be in the program, and I hear guys speak in New Mexico, Santa Fe, here in Jersey, guys that have done great things. You know, once they got that monkey off their back, they have achieved great things. And you know that guy has talent, and he's got a lot of heart. And then you got Danny Shelton on the defensive line. Now all of a sudden, we have all this cohesion, which Matt has been a part of twice. Do Do you agree with me, Matt?
I do. And to not to say you're wrong, but Danny Shelton's the wrong guy. He's going to bring cohesion as a defensive unit in execution. But it's the Dansby, it's the Whitner that drive the competition, that drive the cohesion defensively. Not Danny Shelton's a piece of the puzzle, okay? And essentially might be the finishing piece of the puzzle to make for a very great defense. But the cohesion comes from the leaders, the Krugers, the Whitners, the Tashawn Gibsons, and the Carlos Dansbys, not the Danny Shelton.
All right, here's an amazing thing. You're very accurate about what you just said, okay? And listing those guys. And you didn't omit a guy, but you didn't say his name, and we should be saying his name. If we're on Mingo about, you know, this is a break, make it or break it year for him, why do we not ever say, hey, Phil Taylor?
Yeah.
Because Phil Taylor was a number one draft
pick.
Yes,
he was.
That the Browns moved around that year in the first round to make that pick. And, you know, when Phil Taylor is right, Phil Taylor is a destructive, and I mean in a good way.
Yes.
A destructive defensive player. But there are too many weeks where, as you mentioned to me, Jim, you don't call his name. And it's not because I don't want to call his
right.
name. It's just that he's not in the play. When are we going to say that? When are we going to say, when does Phil Taylor live up to his drafting?
Well, you hope. He's a guy in an expiring contract. You hope it's this year. Anybody that's rising into the last year of their contract and wants to remain with that team, otherwise put together a great season, staying healthy, being productive to go get a payday somewhere
right.
else,
yep.
it's got to be this year.
Okay.
And I'm looking for that from Phil Taylor. But what's a little bit different is, for a defensive lineman, for a guy that doesn't essentially get a lot of sacks like Phil Taylor, you really don't want to hear his name, but the one thing that you don't want to have happen is to have gaping holes in that defense. So Phil Taylor can do his job and grade out extremely well without being a stat-filling defensive lineman.
And, of course, he's got to stay on the field.
Yes.
Which was a problem for him last year. And that Cincinnati game down in Cincinnati, he was a major part
Absolutely.
Of Jeremy
in 19
Hill.
Plays.
Yeah, and Jeremy Hill not having – and remember, he came off the injured list to play in that
yep.
game, having a bad game. And them not being able to run, making them one-dimensional,
yep.
and the one dimension was not good on that night, despite the fact that I'm willing to raise funds for Andy Dalton if he comes here to build a statue just before the Republican National Convention. I don't know if he's a Republican. Wouldn't matter around here.
He might. When you make that much money, he might be.
If we had a winning quarterback here, okay, wouldn't matter. We'll be right back. We have more here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR. We'll be right back.